It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. I'm Keith Manley, your host for Fresh Oil today. I want to welcome you to the program. And we've been teaching verse by verse on the book of Galatians, one of my favorite books in the New Testament, especially since grace and the subject of God's grace is so close to my heart. I love the book of Galatians. Paul begins this fourth chapter by saying, "What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." I want you to imagine today a young orphan boy living in poverty, without hope or without a future. And every day he works really hard trying to survive. But no matter how much effort he puts in, his circumstances will never change. He longs for a better life, but he feels stuck in his helpless situation. And then one day, a royal carriage pulls up to his small village, and to his astonishment, the king himself steps out, and he approaches him. The king kneels before the boy, and he says, "I have chosen you to be my son. I want to adopt you into my family, and from this day forward, you will no longer live as a pauper, but as a prince in my palace." The boy is overwhelmed, and he asks, "What must I do to earn this honor?" The king smiled and he replied, "You don't have to earn it. It is my gift to you. All you have to do is trust me and come with me." Well, at first, the boy hesitates, clinging to his old life because it's all he's ever known. But as he looks into the kind eyes of the king, he makes a decision to trust him. And the boy is taken to the palace, where he's given a royal robe and a place at the king's table, and the title of son. Even though he's now a prince, there's moments when this boy struggles to let go of his old mindset. Sometimes he tries to prove his worth by doing chores around the palace, thinking that the king might send him back if he doesn't work hard enough. But each time, the king gently reminds him, "You're my son, not because of what you do, but because I chose you and I love you." This story is actually an illustration of our spiritual adoption that Paul writes about in here in the book of Galatians. That when the time fully came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has also made you an heir. And boy, there are some times when we struggle to fully embrace our new identity. We try to earn God's love or fall back into the old habits of trying to work to be good enough where God will one day accept us. But God reminds us through his Spirit that lives inside of us, you're no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir through Christ Jesus. Galatians 4 and verse 7 is what he tells us. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Remember, we learned yesterday that if we belong to Christ, then we're Abraham's seed and we're heirs to the promise God gave us in Christ Jesus. Here in the fourth chapter of Galatians, it's such a reminder to us of our identity in Christ. Paul writes passionately about God's transformative power and how he changed us from being a slave to sonship, to being a child of the Most High God. The message is clear that we're no longer bound by the law, that system of relating to God based on our performance. But now under this new covenant, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We've been adopted into the family of God. Today we're going to look at three key themes here in the fourth chapter of Galatians. The first one is the adoption into God's family. He tells us that the heir, as long as he's a child, he's no different than a slave. And though he's the owner of everything, he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. See, so many people today live under the weight of the law, and they don't even realize the gift that God gave them through his grace. And then we have the danger of returning to that bondage. He picks up in verse 8 and says, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again?" See, the Galatians had been set free by Christ. Paul had shared with them the gospel of grace. He freed them from the weight of that 613 commandments of the law that kept them bound and made them constantly feel defeated. The Galatians were set free, but they're being tempted to return to legalism, trying to observe all the rituals and laws as though they could somehow earn God's favor. And Paul describes these as weak and worthless. This is a warning to all of us that how often do we fall into the trap of trying to prove ourselves to God by our good deeds, by our religious performance, and all of our worldly pursuits? Why would we want to return to the bondage? And yet people do it every day. They've been set free by grace, and yet somehow they begin to think that their good deeds are giving them special privilege with God. Friend, our good deeds are a result of grace. Our good deeds are a result of the change that's taken place in our life. It doesn't earn us our salvation. Paul goes on in verse 10 and he says, "You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you." Now, Paul is saying here that they began to try to relate to God through doing all their festivals, all their special days, their months and their years. But he said, you've got to come through Christ. See, the Bible teaches us in Colossians that all these things were a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, Paul said, was found in Christ. Paul said in verse 12, "I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you." Paul's relational type of ministry. He says, "I became like you, now you become like me." He got to know the people. I believe when we minister Jesus Christ, we have to get down to where people are and love them and relate to them, understand where they're coming from. Not putting on a religious front that just turns people off, but be real. Show them reality. Paul is even real about his illness. He's like, "It was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you." And then verse 14, "Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself." Wow, do we see that in the church today? Paul was even open and upfront with them about his own personal struggles, his own illness that he was facing. So many times today in the body of Christ, people say, "How are you doing?" And we reply, "Fine," even though we're far from fine. Paul got real with the people, and now he expected them to get real with him. He picks up in verse 15 and he said, "What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me." This is where a lot of people get the idea that Paul's thorn in the flesh could have been poor eyesight, because he refers to the Galatians here that they would have torn out their eyes and given them to him if they could have. "Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Paul is really getting real with this group of people called the Galatians. He is really appealing to them upon the relationship he had built with them to reject the false teachings that were coming their way. Let's pick up with verse 17. Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Do you see the passion Paul has in this letter? He is appealing to these people. Don't go back under the law. Don't let these Judaizers come in and drag you back into trying to relate to God through your performance instead of the grace of Jesus Christ. Paul's goal for them is that Christ be fully formed in their lives and for them to live in the freedom and fullness of their identity as children of God. Now we come to verse 21, and he's going to change the topic a little bit and talk about living as heirs of the promise. This is what he says. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. He's referring here to Ishmael and then Isaac. 23. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of the promise. Paul's reminding them, this new covenant, it's a covenant of grace and not from your own efforts and your own deeds. In verse 24, he says, these things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. That's the law. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is from above is free, and she is our mother. See, Paul's telling us here, as heirs of the promise, we're not bound to the law. Instead, we are to live free in the grace and the power of the Spirit. And this freedom is not a license to sin, but it's a call to live as God's children, reflecting His love and holiness to the world. Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now in verse 28, let's wind this up today. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. Remember, Ishmael persecuted Isaac when he was little. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, I always taught you when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. So he's going to say something heavy. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Paul's telling us here, we need to rest in our identity. Remember that you're a child of God. You've been adopted into His family. And then you let this truth shape you and you see yourself the way God sees you. And then resist legalism. Don't fall into the trap of trying to earn God's love or favor. Trust in the finished work of Christ at the cross. Paul said in Romans 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death. And then, friend, we live in that freedom, using that freedom to serve others and glorify God. And we reflect the grace of God in our life to this lost and dying world. We're in the book of Galatians, a great study. Hope to catch you here again tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.